Oh, yeah. That's it. That's a good one right there. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. You like that one, Copper?
I do.
That was Jimi Hendrix. That was yeah. All Along the Watchtower by Hendrix. That's the one we talked about yesterday. He was a paratrooper before he was a rock star. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, I got a caller on line one. Let me grab it real quick. Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing today?
Hey, awesome, Phil and Copper. Thanks for having me on. This latest news you were just talking about with the new Department of Disinformation Control or Governance or whatever they want to call themselves, they've been operating for well over 12 years along the lines of social media, decreeing that which is true and then that which doesn't fit their narrative to be falsehoods and or misinformation. And now with the full weight of the government, not just cancel culture, using the ladies on the View to destroy people, the full weight of the government to go after anybody who does not agree with their narrative, and with the governmental force to decide what they say the narrative is truth, and everything you disagree with is untrue and disinformation. Very disturbing. I think a 23andMe DNA search of Ms. Jankowicz would probably link her to a certain Herr Josef Goebbels in Mother Deutschland in 1930s and 1940s.
Oh, wow. That's good commentary right there. You need to write my next monologue for me. But yeah, that's... I'll be honest with you, and I look at this and think, how are they going to circumvent the First Amendment? I mean, at some point, if someone says, you may not like it, Mr. Big Brother, but I have a First Amendment right to think it. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to deal with this. I guarantee you it's going to wind up being challenged, and I'm hoping the midterms find a new Congress and Senate that say, smack that down, we're not having that. So we'll see.
Well,
I don't know.
Let's see how strongly they view their own sense of power, because I wasn't kidding about Josef Goebbels. His job description and hers sound eerily identical, in my opinion. And, of course, that's what led to people being incarcerated and put in prison work camps for disagreeing with the agenda of the Reich. And these people are absolutely dangerous because they're so delusional and utterly corrupt and dishonest. That's the ironic part. This is the most corrupt and dishonest regime this nation has ever known.
I completely agree. And I will say this, though. I'll caveat by saying this. I don't want a Republican administration to have an Office of Disinformation. I don't think it's a true function of government. Not at all. Especially when he's coming from the Department
100%.
Of Homeland Security. Well, hey, Sparky, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you as always. Stay in the audience. We love having you a part of it. So, all right, folks, listen, totally. I mean, so when I gave those comments a moment ago, do I trust the Biden administration? I don't trust the Biden administration to help me across a street. I mean, much less to have an Office of Disinformation. But I'll be honest. I can think of, I mean, all right, what's the model? I guess the model for me would be the Reagan administration. I don't want the Reagan administration having an Office of Disinformation as to issues within our homeland. I mean, it's one thing to say there is a counterintelligence opportunity with the CIA working against foreign governments. Yes, I can see where the military is going to have PSYOPs. I mean, I used to be a part of the Civil Affairs and PSYOPs Command. So I can see where military is going to have PSYOPs on the battlefield, because what that is trying to be a force enabler and to be something that provides a shaping of the battlefield by giving messaging that the battlefield needs on behalf of the combatant commander. That's a different thing altogether. When you're looking at a government that is not allowed by law to spy on its own people, having an Office of Disinformation whose whole mission is to see whether or not truth is actually being talked about, written about, social media. That is not, know your role, government. That is not your role. And do I agree with everybody who calls into my show? No, we disagree. We'll do the Grand Council today, and the three of us are all three conservative commentators, and we may not always agree. The reality is the government should never be in the business of picking which one of us is right. The government does not pick winners and losers. There's a difference between crime and trying to decide whether or not you're allowed to speak or think. That's a big difference. All right, we got a full show laid on for you. Number one in the Triple Dipper is going to be the Woke War Counteroffensive. We'll be hitting that after the next break. And I got to tell you, too, by the way, if you are finding yourself getting outside of the what I call the overly broad range of our AM/FM capabilities here at WVNN, just know that anywhere in the big wide world, you can go to the World Wide Web, go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So, yes, just listen to it. A lot of folks stream our show, and we just found out the other day there's somebody in Australia that listens to our show, which is kind of cool. It's everywhere. That's why we have out-of-state callers. That's why we have people down in South Alabama. You know, we had a guy that was calling in from Wetumpka several times. We just way outside of our AM/FM because they're streaming the show live. We also have the podcast on there. About to hit 45,000 downloads of the podcast. I always say it, but I get the biggest kick out of the fact that our second biggest audience is about 700 people in California that download our podcast. Hello, California. We love you out there on the left coast. But yeah, everything about this show is on rightsideradio.org, including, by the way, as I sit here drinking a cup of Just Love coffee out of my Right Side Radio coffee mug. You can buy all that stuff on there. We got coffee mugs. We got stickers. We got phone cases with the Right Side Radio logo on it. We got stickers. We got T-shirts. And my favorite, I always say it, I get laughed at sometimes by the family. They joke about it. Dad, what are you doing? Socks. Right Side Radio socks. How cool is that? Everybody needs some Right Side Radio socks. All right, listen, Copper, tell Line 2 if he'll hold on. We'll get him right after the break. But, yeah, folks, we got plenty going. Plenty going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. You hang tight. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Hey, I got a caller that held on line two through the break, so I'm going to jump right on that and honor that time he spent. Hey, it's Jeff from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. Hey, what's on your mind, buddy?
You need to... on your bumper music, man, you need to do Focus by Hocus Pocus start about 45 seconds in.
Okay, I think we're getting lots of feedback on the new bumper music. What you thinking today, man? What's on the issues? What's on your mind?
Oh, well, the Disinformation Council has got the proper name. Yeah. I just wonder if they're going to do disinformation that the White House puts out. Are they going to track all that and all the Democrats are saying?
That would be interesting. Do you think they're going to bite the hand that feeds them? I doubt it.
Their record, you know, on them. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much disinformation the Disinformation Council is going to put out.
It's absolutely. I mean, this is literally a propaganda arm. Somebody else has already coined the phrase, calling it the Ministry of Truth, and it just boggles my mind why they think this is a good idea. Plus, it's coming through Homeland Security, not coming through like the CIA or something.
Do you think maybe that they might have found the on Hunter's laptop, you know, the blueprints for this from the Chinese?
I'm not sure how to respond to that.
He did delete a lot of stuff.
That is freaking funny. Well, you know, Jeff, this whole thing is going to play. And you know what else bothers me too? On a more serious note, we don't know yet what their role is going to be. Are they just going to be finger pointers? Are they going to be white paper writers? Or are they going to have some kind of enforcement arm where they can go out and search and seize? I don't know. We'll wait and see.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to just to see how much disinformation they actually put out that can be collaborated. You know, like the Hunter Biden. You know, that was Russian disinformation. You know, that was truth. You know, but it's going to be interesting to see how much is turned around on what they say.
Well, I bet they're going to have 40 former top intel officials willing to sign a letter saying that the Ministry of Truth is a good idea. So we'll see.
Well, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Intelligence officials.
I did say that, didn't I? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But, all right, Jeff. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you as always. You have a great day. All right. Listen, folks, I got to tell you, I think this thing has got legs. I don't think this topic's going away anytime soon. I think the more people talk about this ministry of truth, the more they talk about this, you know, office of disinformation, the more it's going to become something that we're going to have to push back on. And I don't mean like in a little way. I mean, like, there needs to be an outcry. Like, hey, congressmen, hey, senators, hey, all of y'all running for office right now, this is a thing. And you better be telling us that come the midterms, you're going to do everything you can. I mean, it might be an executive office. Maybe he can create the office, but we can defund it, right? Congress has the power of the purse. So we'll wait and see. Well, listen, number one, the Triple Dipper. Let me jump into some stuff here because I've been telling you since, ever, that the way that we have to handle the situations being foisted upon us by the woke mob is we have to push back. And I don't mean that I'm not talking about, you know, teeth and hair flying. I'm not talking about blood in the streets. What I am talking about, though, is saying, no, we're not settling for that. Here's how we're going to push back on it legally, morally, ethically, officially, administratively. We're pushing back. Here's an example. I found this to be just kind of epic. And if I understand it correctly, and I might not, but here's what I got out of it. Fox Business has a story dated yesterday. The title of it is Woca-Cola. Coke CEO becomes the first target in an activist shareholder's busy week. And I thought, what does this even mean, an activist shareholder? Okay, so it says in the opening of the article, ethics watchdog and activist shareholder, an organization called the National Legal and Policy Center, is slated to speak to the boards of several major U.S. corporations this week, pushing a flurry of resolutions. Okay, what I understand from this is that this organization specializes in purchasing the requisite number of shares of some of these woke major corporations, giving them then the authority to speak at shareholders' meetings and offer resolutions. I think that's epic. You know, they've got a portfolio going too, I guess, but they also have shareholder rights at that point. They're able to say, hey, now, you can't ignore us. We're not outside your building holding up signs. We're inside your shareholders, and we're holding up resolutions. So what they've done, first thing they did with regards to Coca-Cola, that was their first target, and their CEO of Coca-Cola, James Quincy, they floated a resolution that would require the role of board chairman to be independent, meaning that if it were approved, this guy Quincy could not be both chief executive of the company and the president of the board. That way, the board can direct, because right now there's a mixing, a blurring of the lines, if you will. He can go woke as the CEO and steer the company, and the board has less opportunity to control that because he's the chairman of the board. So I thought this was a pretty epic counteroffensive move. And they go on to say they propose resolutions to Berkshire Hathaway, Goldman Sachs, Coca-Cola, of course, Wells Fargo. Where's the other one here? Anyway, the bottom line is this. They're doing this. Bank of America. Says corporations want to be public and reap the benefits of that structure. They don't want accountability. And I agree. Woke war counteroffensive. That's crazy cool. Activist shareholders. I like that. All right, here's another one. In thehill.com, The Hill magazine, Liz Peek wrote a piece. And I thought, this is well done. Liz Peek wrote it yesterday. Came out yesterday. Liz Peek says, message to woke corporate America, butt out of politics. Yes. Says, woke corporate America is finally getting some pushback. See, I'm telling you, I'm not the only one saying it. Woke corporate America is finally getting some pushback, and it's about time. Governor Ron DeSantis has punished the Walt Disney Company for interfering in his state's politics, signing a bill that strips the Mouse House of special tax status. And you know the story. The Mickey Mouse Land decided to come after state politics and demand they make changes and then declare that they're going to be doing all they can to undo what the legislature has rightfully done, slamming it, slamming them, maligning the law, misstating the law. And what happened? They said, you know what? If you're going to be in our state and you'll be that kind of a bad actor, why are we giving you all these incentives? And so they lost some of their major incentives. Well, she points out in the article, Liz Peek does, Disney had a sweet deal, and they blew it. It says an early poll even asked about the bill's restrictions, the same one that Disney was fussing over, said 61% of respondents and 67% of parents, even 55% of Democrats, all agreed with the legislation. Why did they pick this battle? No one can figure it out. Well, it's because they caved to the woke mob. But they lost big. And it shows on here, too, she cites in this particular article, for over two decades, Gallup poll has asked Americans their feelings about big business. In 2002, 50% of the nation said they were satisfied with big corporations. Last year, only 26% said so. And literally, for the first time since 2010, a majority of Americans have a negative view of big business. It's because they're continuing to go down woke roads, and it doesn't make any sense for what they do. Because what they do is what they're supposed to be doing right now is creating profit for their shareholders. Profit for their shareholders. All right, what else have we got in the woke war counteroffensive? Well, here's one that I even saw. I had the story picked out yesterday. And then this morning, as I was about to leave the house, Charlene and I had Fox News on, and she goes, "Hey, look at that." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I read that story yesterday." It's a lady in Rochester, New York. Story's up on foxnews.com is where I got it. Dated yesterday. I've got friends in Rochester. I mean, allegedly upstate New York is fairly conservative. And she says that she began to get concerned because she was seeing some things in some curriculum at the school where her children went. And it was not yet in the grade her children were in, but she knew they were going to, you know, matriculate up to it. And so she wanted to find out. So she asked, what is actually in ethnic and gender studies at the local high schools? And the school system would not answer her. So she reached out and called for an official opportunity to review the curriculum. She was denied. She was told that there were some type of copyright infringements that would be there if they gave her a copy of it. Well, that's crap. It's paid for with public dollars. That is crap. If you're going to give it to a student, a child, to read for homework, how can you deny the parent the right to see it? Anyway, what's in ethnic and gender studies at the high school in Rochester? Well, the teacher then instructed her to contact the district's diversity, equity, and inclusion director. Oh, okay. So the school system has a diversity, equity, and inclusion director. I see where we're going. And yes, they were given some minor PowerPoints with a few benign bullet points, but it took several more weeks. Finally, the diversity, equity, and inclusion director told her she'd have to submit a FOIA request. So a Freedom of Information Act request was required for a parent to find out what is being taught to the kids at her child's high school, except that they didn't give the information from the FOIA request. She paid $400 for the copies, still couldn't get everything. It's going on and on. She finally had to file suit against the school district. That is a counteroffensive at work. That's a parent who said, you know what? Even if I have to, because she said this morning on Fox News that some of the parents in the school wish she would back off. Well, you know what? Good on her for not. Because that's what they wanted her to do, was back off. That's why they wouldn't give her the documents. That's why she had to pay $400 for copies that really didn't amount to anything. And that's why she's finally had to file suit. Because this is about our kids. All right, Copper, move us to the break. We'll go ahead and take this break. We'll be right back. Coming up, top of the hour, state auditor candidate, current state representative, Andrew Sorrell, will be on the phone with us, talking about his campaign and what's going on, and why was there a bill to do away with the very office that he's running for? Yeah, I don't know how to explain that either. We'll talk to him about it. And I'll be back finishing up more about the woke war counteroffensive. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. That's what it says right here on my coffee mug. That's what it says. And it's true. Hey, listen, a piece in the Federalist the other day. I'm continuing this discussion, the woke war counteroffensive. Story from the Federalist dated 2 days ago. It's titled, "The Democrats' Culture War is Destroying Their Ability to Govern Competently Enough to Fool Voters." So in the woke war counteroffensive, where we also see a battleground is in the ballot box. We see a battleground in the ballot box because voters are sick of it. Voters are seeing left and right the culture war literally discounting the ability of the left to completely govern. Now, there was a recent New York Times columnist, Charles Blow, apparently came out, according to the article in the Federalist by Nathaniel Blake, who was just shocked that there would be a poll that shows that Biden had a 33% approval rating. Okay. Well, he points out, he says, Democrats are stumbling into a bloodbath in the November midterms. But that he goes on to say, Democrat failures on bread and butter issues like crime and inflation are related to culture war radicalism that has captured their party. They're fanatical culture warriors. Things like, you know, claiming the GOPs is out there, they don't want to teach black history. All they want to teach is white supremacy in school. And no, we don't. I mean, and he points out in the article, he said the litany of whines highlights the true low they've gotten to. Americans know the difference, it says, between teaching history and teaching poisonous ideology derived from critical race theory. Yes, we do. We also recognize that it makes no sense for us to be able to say that if you speak inappropriately about something, you know, overtly sexual to a coworker, it's called sexual harassment in the workplace. But if you speak in such a way to kids in a school, that's considered just teaching? No, it's not. You don't teach gender fluidity to a kindergartner, especially when the parents are not involved. And so we know this, and the woke left can't figure it out. And so one of the battleground counteroffensives that I see coming is literally that we're looking at the ballot box being a great battleground, and the polls are showing the voters are not enamored of this messaging. All right, another piece I've got here came from Newsweek. Newsweek dated April 20th, so it's eight days ago. Jason Rance, who I think is also a radio guy. Jason Rance wrote this piece, came out in Newsweek. He says, parents are yanking their kids from left-wing public schools at an increasing rate, and the problem is likely going to worsen in the most progressive cities. He cites some stats. Apparently in 2020-2021 school year, there was an astonishing 3% of pupils nationwide that left their public schools. That's like 1.5 million students nationwide. Okay. Says California saw a dramatic loss of 110,000 public school students left the public system. In New Jersey, public school enrollment dropped to its lowest level in 20 years. He points out the best way for parents to bring their kids back to public schools is to abandon the woke agenda, but educators, liberal educators, can't seem to wake up to that. So here's the other piece. In the woke war counteroffensive, sometimes it's not punching back, sometimes it's declining to further participate. And so we're seeing it left and right. In the counteroffensive against the woke war culture, what we're seeing is, for instance, parents are willing to sue a school district to find out why the curriculum says what it does, or for that matter, parents are willing to take their kids out of that school system altogether. Here's another one. I love this. Have you seen, by the way, a guy, he's a former NFL player named Jack Brewer, a black man who does an amazing job of empowering kids not to let their race ever be an issue and to tell them that they are worth everything that God intended for them and that they can do all things. And he teaches these kids, oh, by the way, to love this country. I've watched him on the news several times. He gives an amazing interview. So Jack Brewer is his name. Look him up if you haven't seen it. Well, Jack Brewer has a program, and I believe actually a school, it's called the American Heroes Program, and I believe he has a school actually too in Florida. Some of his kids went to the bill signing when Governor Ron DeSantis signed the Stop Woke Act, the same one that Disney has been up in arms about. Joy Reid came out and said some completely humiliating things about those kids, said that they had been, it had been child abuse that they had been put up there with the bill signing, and that it was, that she wanted to know who was in charge of that. Well, the kids loved being there. They got to be a part of something big. And Jack Brewer says he's filing suit against Joy Reid for slandering those children that he is responsible for. I love that. All right. Listen, there's lots more where that came from. Not going to get to all of it. I will tell you this, though. As a part of the woke war counteroffensive, you're watching Elon Musk buy Twitter. It's all the news right now. By the way, I picked up like 20 new followers overnight. But one of the things that I think is most funny in the woke war counteroffensive, as Elon Musk buys Twitter, story on the Post-Millennial says that employees began to cry at a recent staff meeting when they realized the jig was up. Stay in the fight, people. The counteroffensive is underway. And guess what? There's more of us than there are of them. That's what Charlene says all the time, and she's right. All right. Stay tuned. We got State Representative Andrew Sorrell calling in to talk about his run for state auditor. That's right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.